Welcome to the Blockchain Life with your host, Wall Street Journal and USA Today's best-selling author, Carrie Oberbrunner. In each episode, we explore relevant topics that help you keep your world connected and protected. Thanks for joining the conversation today. Let's begin.
A very interesting topic with a very interesting guest. In fact, they sent over a slide deck before and I was like mind blown. I can't wait to learn about this myself. So Suman, welcome. Why don't you pronounce your last name? Because people always mess mine up and yours is quite unique. So tell us your last name and give us a little bit of your journey into Web3.
Yeah. Hi, Kerry. Thanks a lot for having me here. My name is Suman Kanuganti.
Perfect.
Yep. So I'm the founder CEO of a company called Personal.ai. And our goal is to essentially democratize AI for consumers and for people. The background is that AI has made many strides in the businesses, created many different efficiencies for a lot of utilities and tools that we use every day. And our goal is to give back the ownership of the data for every individual person who is on the internet, and as well create their own personal AI that reflects their own thoughts, their own minds.
Wow. So, oh my gosh. So you're, I reviewed the slide deck. Is it true that you're taking data that's already out there and you are essentially creating an artificial intelligence, persona, avatar? How does it all work?
It's a model. So think about it this way. Every day we consume a lot of information. We create a lot of information. And there's a lot of historical pieces of data that we created as well. If you are the consumer of the internet, you are likely a creator because you are likely writing some posts, some thoughts that is, you know, shared out there and that belongs to somebody else. So the core intent of the platform is to have these life experiences that you are creating as well as you are consuming into your own digital memory vault. In a way, it's essentially like capturing all your data that you are consuming, creating every day and structuring them into a memory stack, we refer to it. But that's only first step of the system. And the core part is creating a unique model. It's essentially an algorithm. It's a generative and conversational based algorithm that is trained entirely on your own data.
So there's a gentleman named Deepak Chopra.
Yep, of course. Yep.
Right. And he has a
AI version of it.
Yeah.
Yep. Now I've seen it. That is a very good example of what we are up to as well. However, our goal is to make it so easily available to everybody and every consumer, right? Not just the top 1% of, not even top 1%, top 0.01% of the celebrities who already have, you know, a lot of content. So if you think about access to AI, we have access to the utility of AI. For example, your Google Assistant or Alexa devices, you know, any of those nature. And the data is contributed by the individual consumers to these models. And these are all general models that are available out there. In other words, it is trained on the internet of data, but not on your own data, right? So we want to create this AI model of one individual. That's like almost decentralizing, if you will, the idea of aggregation models into unique individual models. So for us, it's not about these gigantic models aggregating everybody's data into one. For us, it's about how do we scale and create a unique model that represents their own thoughts. By virtue of doing so, you are able to essentially create on the sum total of your life experiences, which is replicating, you know, your ideas, your thoughts, your authenticity, your ownership. So that's kind of like where our motivations are.
So I want our people to realize, because most people that listen to this are either authors, entrepreneurs, or influencers.
Awesome.
Okay, that's our three focus. I know firsthand, because I've been a writer now since 2004. So I've almost been a published author for 20 years. And as I began to grow my platform, I needed to hire a team.
Yep.
And the team needed to come around me and say, oh, Carrie, you said this quote on stage. Hold on. You know, you just spoke here. You need that picture. In other words, I currently have to pay many people to be maybe what you're offering the person who doesn't have the ability to afford a large team. Is that kind of what you're saying?
It is absolutely one of the avenues, right? So let me break it down, those three use cases that you mentioned, right? Authors, influencers, and entrepreneurs.
Yes.
Let's take an example of an author. Let's say, you know, many of your listeners has already written lots of books. You know, maybe you worked on 10, 20 years on thought leadership on a certain topic. What you would essentially do is you would create your AI model. You would bootstrap your AI with your existing content and thought leadership. For example, you can literally take your books and then push it into your own AI model. So technically, you are taking your existing content that people today either listen to or read, and then converting that into an interactive piece of content.
Wow. Okay.
So you can technically interact with your content, or you can also write with your content. What does that mean? You mentioned the people who work, you know, with you and your ideas, Carrie, right?
Right.
So assume you have Carrie's personal AI. You could still have your people, but they will be now leveraging or co-creating with Carrie's AI, because it does represent your thoughts, and the trust that every AI response carries represent your authenticity and your personal brand. Right?
Wow.
So this is like a good example of an author of really creating almost like a new communication medium without losing the authenticity and ownership of one person.
This is awesome. And folks, I want you to realize right now on Instagram, there is a company called, you might have heard of these people, I believe it's called The Digitals. You heard of this company? What it is it's models. Okay, so this is, I'm sharing this for a reason, it relates, but there's a digital modeling agency with 10 people, okay? Meaning they're just digital versions of people. These are not real people. But what I hear you saying, like, by the way, these people have Instagram accounts. These people have Twitter accounts. I see it right now. Have you heard of this model?
Yep.
One of the most popular ones. I'm going to just show my screen here. But I want people to realize, like, this is where things are going. But what our friend here is talking about, this is correct, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So she is Michaela. How do you say that? I don't even know.
Michaela. Yep.
Yeah. Michaela. And she has 1.3 million Instagram followers. You might say, what the heck? But she's getting paid for placement with a sunglasses and McDonald's and all this stuff. But you're saying that the average person could have their own AI so that the AI can be them on Instagram, Twitter, all these different platforms?
Yeah, so think about once you have your own digital mind, right? So let me break it down, you know, the whole concept of digital humans as well, right?
Yeah, please do.
There are three aspects of digital humans. One, being able to replicate your, you know, physical behavior and the appearance of you in an avatar, right? Yeah. It's basically mostly like visual modeling that comes into play. And the second thing is, so on the avatar side, there's also deep fakes, right? So technically taking all your videos and being able to, you know, imitate digitally a particular person. So that's the first step,
Is deep fakes bad or good, or is it neutral?
It's a very loaded question, and I think that will take a podcast in itself. Okay. But from given this is a Web3 focused podcast and blockchain focused podcast, I think the importance of AI in Web3 is the response or is the answer to the question that you're asking, Kerry. Because if the deep fakes technically has an association to the authenticity that it is happening, with the intent.
Content.
Yeah, with the content and with the intent of the particular individual, then it will create value in a more trusted and authentic manner, right? I think what is problematic is if you do it without the ownership and the authenticity.
Okay, so folks, you got to catch that. I'm going to break that down for the people who are just getting into this Web3. Deep faking is a term that describes essentially, correct me if I'm wrong, Suman, but it's basically putting my identity and integrating it with content, even though I didn't really say it in that real time, but it could be content that I wrote. That would be an example that you're saying is a productive one. Put my identity with content that I've already written or said, but now it's me, even though it's a digital version. What you're not for is making Joe Biden or Donald Trump say something that they didn't really say and kind of hacking their identity. Is that fair?
Yeah, it's fair. I think if you want to go a step further in terms of breaking it down, there is a visual identity, which is how Joe Biden, looks and talks and speaks and the expressions, on saying things. And then there is an association of what they actually say. So when you normally in the context of deepfakes, it is usually associating some content, like you're talking about, Kerry, to a visual digital identity that looks like a Joe Biden or that looks like a Trump.
Okay.
When it comes down to like digital human beings, so the three breakdowns is one, visual identity that we just talked about, the deepfakes. And the second thing is voice cloning. So in other words, how Joe Biden speaks and say things, right? There are some examples out there on the internet for deepfaking the voice of Obama, right?
Yes, I've seen that.
Yeah. And it gets funny. It's entertaining. But I guess, now the question is, okay, what kind of utility that we need to get out of it? And the third aspect of the digital humans beyond like visual identity, voice cloning, is this mind cloning. How do you replicate?
Wow.
Yeah. How do you replicate in the thought process of an individual mind? And that's what this company is all about, right? There are a good number of companies who create the visual identities and voice cloning. And for us, how do we extract the fullest potential of what is being captured into one's life and then capture that into an AI model?
Wow.
Because we do not have that capacity. We forget things of what we even created. So the fundamental insight for this company is, whatever we create and whatever we consume, we lose 80% of it.
Yes.
So what if, what is the potential if we are indeed able to create on some total of all Kerry's life experiences?
So get this, Suman. I read an article last week. Maybe you were in it. I don't know. But it basically said that there's a company, maybe they're your competitor, maybe it's you, I don't know. But it basically said that soon we're going to make people immortal by creating an AI experience for a grandkid who never got to meet their grandfather, but now they'll be able to go into virtual reality. And really, their grandfather said these things,
yep,
did these mannerisms, talked this way, and they'll be able to meet their grandfather. Is this kind of what you're doing?
Maybe it is personal.ai, because we do have a secondary use case that is becoming fairly popular, where granddads, if you will, grandmoms.
Sure.
They are training their AIs with this idea that their model remains in the cloud and lives in the cloud forever, right? And once you are starting to think about having access to this model, you can essentially drop it in any of your community or, you know, chatbots or Discord channels, or even associate or attach to an avatar in the metaverse in the future as well, right? So I think right now, these three streams of creating digital humans, which is the visual, the voice, and the mind, are happening parallelly.
Yes.
And I tend to believe over the next 3 to 6 years, if you will, there will be a convergence of these three things in a more standard manner, where you can start having these digital human beings that not only has visual identity, voice identity, but also their authenticity in their thoughts and the mind, appear in metaverses, for example, right? So wow. I think there is a huge convergence that is likely going to happen. I don't know, maybe like, 5 to 6 years from now.
What if I got an author in my back called C.S. Lewis, right? I've always wanted to meet him. He's dead now.
There you go. Yeah. This is a chance.
Yeah.
It is mind-blowing, actually. I recently created an AI from one of the psychology books. His name is Walter. Like back from 1920s, 1930s, like the early versions of how people thought about psychology. And it is so real, man. It is like you essentially like start giving various different topics. And then it because it is a model, it starts making associations and in the context of what is going on in your head. So it gets like really interesting. So you should do that experiment. Like take your book, create a personal AI, upload the book, and you will have an interactive version of that individual because it's all, his or her expressions.
Wow. So I love this. This is great. We're going to call your episode, Carrie's Dream of Meeting C.S. Lewis Becomes Real through personal AI. Wow, you've just blown everybody's mind. I love the fact that you've broken it down into voice, right? Visual, and now mind. Where could we go with this? I mean, are there A, dangers? Are there B, massive opportunities besides meeting your ancestors? Talk to us a little bit.
Yeah. I don't think it's dangerous as long as it is done right? I mean, I think that's where a huge convergence of Web3 comes into play. I always talk about AI in Web3 because they almost appear to be in opposite end of the spectrum, but they're not. If you simply break it down, a model is nothing but an algorithm that is trained on some data, right?
Mm.
What blockchain is good at fundamentally is associating ownership of that data to individuals.
Yes.
And then that's it. You associate the ownership of the data to the individuals of what they are creating rather than giving it away to aggregation models. Create your own model because the models are sophisticated enough right now to train on small amounts of data, which is one person's life. And blockchain is sophisticated enough to a point where we can guarantee the ownership of the data to the individual. Now combine those two things and the goodness of utility that comes from one person's mind being able to co-create, if you will, with Carrie's AI or interacting or accessing Carrie without you physically being present, giving your time to somebody else. That's all the potential use cases. And because there is an association of underlying data ownership to the people, now it's also possible to monetize your own AI, right?
Wow.
Think about it. I mean, you probably will, people have to pay to talk to you.
Yes.
Right. Now think about how many people can potentially benefit beyond the current willingness to pay to access Kaori, right? If you have your AI that can reach, I mean, technically unlimited number of people, then you are opening up yourself and allowing other people to access a deeper you, establish that connection, because it's remotely impossible to get, you know, all that million fans in that example that we talked about, you know, have that conversation, have the deep connection with that individual.
This is unbelievable. Where can we sign up? Meaning, okay, let's say someone's listening and they say, man, I want to get on the front end of this thing. You know, some people might be motivated by income. Some people might be motivated. I mean, think about this. You ready, Simon? I used to be a pastor back in the day, right? And so therefore, I would preach about Jesus. Mm-hmm. Imagine if you fed everything you knew about Jesus into an AI.
You should do it today.
And now instead of saying, remember back in the day, that maybe this was before your day, but they had WWJD, what would Jesus do? Bracelets.
Yeah.
Now you don't even need to say, what would Jesus do? You would just go into the metaverse. Jesus would be uploaded. Now we're really going to get some views. But Jesus would be uploaded, but not in the sense of anything weird, but in the sense of now you can just understand the scriptures better.
Yep. Every person should be uploaded for that matter. Right? Every person, like, just imagine.
George Washington, whatever.
If every piece of data that you create, every individual, has an associated authenticity and identity that now belongs in the internet, and now it is packed in a model that people can interact, talk, as well as, you know, access it. 100 years from now, you know, you're now talking about understanding humanity in a whole
history.
Different level.
Oh, yeah.
It's a different history, right? So I think this is just the beginning of how we should be thinking about, like, almost unlocking the inner potential of what we people are up to.
Okay.
And I think it is magical. But to your question on what can people do, we are in beta stages right now, and we are essentially creating models for authors, storytellers, novelists, content creators, thought leaders, if you will, on a day-to-day basis. And we do are gathering few influencers to start launching their, you know, personal brand AI into their communities. So people can technically sign up at personal.ai. And if you have existing historical data that you possess, that you authored, you can technically get up to speed and running with your AI in an hour or so. It's all self-service. You can train your own AI, and the data belongs to you, right? So I think it's at the beginning of us telling the story of what we are up to. And people are experimenting with it, co-creating with it. When I say co-creating, it's essentially this idea of being able to recall any topics that you may have created in the past, and have your AI, you know, generate micro blogs, write long form content for you, even generate responses for you. So based on what the use case is and what your motivation is, what your goal is, you can essentially use the system for that purpose.
Wow. Where are you geographically located?
We are in San Diego. We are a small startup still. It's a two-year-old startup career. I think I failed to mention that. And now that our technology development is complete, we are doing experiments with people locally here in San Diego, but pretty much we got 50% of our current creator base outside United States as well. So located in San Diego at this time.
I love it.
It's a global thing.
I want to talk to you offline for a few minutes because I have some ideas.
Yeah.
Yeah, my mind's going, man. Dangers. Did you, you know, because you might have some people here that that might not catch it. In other words, technology scares some people. Technology excites some people, but it scares others. And some people might be saying, you're playing God. You're trying to make people live forever. Are there dangers that you think?
I think it's the perspective, right? Look, so 20 years ago, or even 30 years ago now, I'm old. When I was growing up in India, we used to have a person who tells us what the weather is like, because he was good at, you know, looking at the environmental conditions. And we always thought that person has like superpowers, right? As a kid growing up in India, it even happens like right now. But you know, we always consider they are the gods, right?
Meteorologist.
Yeah, exactly. And then Yuval Harari, in his book, he made a claim saying that because we are able to get these answers from, you know, Google instantly, do we consider Google a god, right? But we don't, right? It's a technology and we understand the utility of it. So I think whenever there is a new convergence of new streams of technologies to unlock almost like a newer potential of what we are up to as individual people, we do have these challenges of adapting to it. But at the end of the day, the creativity of what human possess will only build on top of the foundations, and the foundations, I believe, is the technology. So in other words, technology is never going to replace humans. Humans will always create on top of this technology. So for me, I don't know, technology is a foundation. You know, it's not the replacement. Whatever you give to people, there's more creations on top of it.
Interesting. So you I see you drawing a line and a boundary. Do you think other people in certain technology fields might not draw boundaries? In other words, they might say, an ultra transhumanist might say, you know what? Let's create a new species and eliminate humans. Do you think that's all sci-fi?
I think there is a dystopian view that people like to talk about. I think it's good for entertainment. But let's talk about making an impact. Let's talk about bringing some happiness to people, some joy and some excitement to people. What does it mean to unlock what is potentially being lost? I will give an example. In my previous company, I built a company called AIRA, A-I-R-A. It's a technology for people who are visually impaired, who are basically blind and low vision community, amazing set of people. So if you think about what happened with the company, we simply use technology to provide rich live descriptions of missing visual information for blind people, rather than trying to, you know, fix your eyes, right? Because I mean, there's nothing wrong in fixing the eyes or like medical technologies, but the idea in here is early on, you know, with the community, a lot of people said, Suman, where would I use this? I can already get from point A to point E. I'm already living a good life. But then once people started incorporating in their daily life, there is this idea of like tapping into the unknowns. What does it mean to be experiencing Disneyland? Without just going from, you know, ride one to ride two, there is like a lot more that is missing in between. What does it mean to be traveling by yourself between the countries and going experiencing other countries? So all of a sudden, oh shit, the vastness of what the world offers is much beyond than what was locked into, you know, our own minds. You know? Because it's a blind person, every individual person has a mental model of like their own world. So I think what I'm trying to say is this idea of we are not doing much with 80% of the content that we are creating and consuming.
Yes.
It's lost. So what?
Yes, all these books on my shelf.
Exactly.
The authors are dead, most of them.
Just imagine when you're speaking to me right now, you are able to augment yourself with all of those books.
Wow.
You are able to instantaneously recall some of those content in the context of what you're trying to achieve. They're not replacing you, they're just augmenting you.
Interesting.
So it's a tool. It's a tool to do much beyond than what otherwise we could normally comprehend ourselves to do. It's our capacity.
I love it. So we're going to wrap up here in a second, but personal.ai San Diego. You've been around for 2 years, startup, but you've had people, really smart people on your team, I can tell. Sophia is one of them. Big shout out to her. But this is your website. And right now there's a beta version. And look, you have some legit NVIDIA. Wow. And you're bringing up some of the historical Martin Luther King Jr. I mean, you're catching it. So what should people do on this website?
Well, the best thing anybody can do is create their own AIs and have your curiosity kind of drive what you want your own AI model to do.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Once you start creating your own AI, you can essentially interact with yourself. You can have other people interact with you as well. We do are creating a individual creator coin, which will be coming up later part of this year. So if you are an author, if you are a thought leader that wants to do more, open up access to yourself through a new communication medium. Think about this as a new communication medium to your fans, to your people around you. Mm-hmm. This is the time. Our goal is to, when we go on mainnet with our token is called Memory Access Token. I think this is probably the first podcast I'm talking about it. but technically, we will be launching our token, and there will be an association of every response back to the individual memory data of every person. So it's exciting. We've been heads down building a lot of tech and experimenting a lot of use cases. Mm. And now it's the time to wrap individual personal brands with their own AI and launch their individual creator coins.
I love it. I love it. Well, Suman, thank you so much. I'm going to stick around with you for a few minutes offline.
Yep.
But anything else you want to say to our people? I mean, this was mind-blowing. One of the most inspirational podcasts we've ever had.
Oh, thank you. So kind of you to say that. We're just the beginning. And I would just encourage people to check out, give feedback. We have a community. We are launching our coin. So if you are going to be an influencer in the world of creating your personal AIs to basically, you know, establish connection with your own fans.
Yeah.
Please join us. I guess at the end of the day, at this time, we are a startup. We can take all the help that we can get and all the feedback.
Awesome. There you go, folks. Check it out, personal.ai, and you'll be seeing a lot more of him and his company coming up here. Take care, everyone.
Thanks for listening to Blockchain Life. We hope today's conversation ignited your soul and inspired your mind. Post your comments in a podcast review on iTunes or your platform of choice. We read every single review because your thoughts matter to us. Please share this episode with a friend. We look forward to seeing you again on the next episode.